Chapter 14. I looked up and down the tunnel as I tried to figure out which direction to go, but they both looked about the same. There were glowing mushrooms growing in random patches along the floors and the lower portion of the walls. Really, the only difference I could see was that the right side hooked several yards down into a turn, while the left seemed to go straight back and was lost in the dim light. "Maybe this will help," I said, as I pulled out my sketchbook from my backpack and showed Amrila the map I'd started. "It's not to scale, but you might be able to get an idea of where we're going."
"This is very good,"
the horned woman complimented me.
"Over here is where Bermsha would be."
Amrila pointed to the bottom right corner of my map, so I took out a pencil and started to fill in more details, the farmland and the village. Then the Zinkari woman indicated where the edges of the Bermshire cavern would be, and I drew them in too. With Amrila's help, I was able to make the map more accurate, and satisfaction curled warm in my gut.
"Somewhere in the blank patch is where we escaped from the spiders,"
she said as she examined the map.
"It looks smaller on the map, but I think this is where the tunnel started, so the cave we ended up in would probably have been here."
I looked at where she pointed, and on my map it didn't seem far from where we'd fought the troll. If we would have taken some different turns, we might have ended up on the other side of the river from the troll's cave. There wasn't enough room on the map to add in the cave where Amrila had magically augmented her voice and caved in the tunnel, but it was a place to start figuring out how we got to this point. So, if that cave was here, then the crevice we went through was probably on the northern wall, I muttered to myself. I tried to remember the turns we had to take through the tight, claustrophobic tunnels after the crevice, and the drop-off that put us where we were, and used my finger to follow my guesses on the map. "I think that means we're here." I pointed to a place in the blank space, not far from the river that cut through the cavern of the great forest and fed into the underground lake. "If that's right, then we should go left and come out somewhere near the river. Once we find the river, we'll follow it upstream and find the forest."
"That's possible,"
Amrila said with a skeptical look.
"But we also might end up in the mushroom growth that is now infested with spider younglings."
"It's our best shot right now," I shrugged.
"I admire your attitude, Eddie."
Amrila grinned with her slightly pointed teeth. "It's done well so far," I said as I grinned back at her.
"What's wrong?"
she asked after we'd stared at each other for a few moments, and her smile started to drop from her beautiful face. "Oh, nothing," I cleared my throat.
"No,"
she scoffed.
"What? You were staring at me."
"I like your smile," I admitted. "It's really pretty." She blinked a few times and then her lips curled up into another adorable grin.
"You say the strangest things, Eddie, but I like them. Also, it seems like you're the one flirting with me now."
"You were grabbing my ass," I chuckled as I packed up the map.
"I'm quite sure you want to grab my ass, amongst other things, but later, hmm?"
"Later," I agreed. We started along the left tunnel and walked for what felt like an hour, but it might have only been 20 minutes. Time in the gloom had little meaning, and it made me long for the surface all the more. I missed the open sky and my modest trailer, but most of all I missed Ibsith. I owed her one hell of a date night once I got back. That was another strange thing about being so far underground. I'd never known a world where I couldn't just pull out my cell phone and call or text someone. I'd never realized what a luxury the constant contact in the modern world was, and I wondered what life must have been like decades ago, when you had to hope someone was home to call them. Finally, the end of the tunnel came into view, and it took a force of will not to run the fuck out. But once we stepped out into the large cavern, I stopped and listened. "I can definitely hear running water," I said as I looked around at the rock outcroppings and boulders that littered the ground all around us. There was no plant life that would have let me know we might be close to the forest, but all I had was my instincts, and I needed to trust them.
"I hear it too,"
my red-skinned companion confirmed. "If we keep going forward, I think we'll find the river, unless you recognize where we are."
"Not exactly,"
Amrila replied as she looked around.
"But I almost never come to the western reaches of the Yeni territory. It's all wilderness and infested with wild brownies."
"You don't like brownies?" I snorted as I started forward.
"No one does,"
the horned woman said, as if it should be obvious.
"They're scavengers. I'm a thief, but at least I have standards. The brownies will take anything that isn't nailed down and light enough for them to carry. And the wild ones like to tip their arrows with poison that'll paralyze you so they can pick you clean before you can move again.
They seemed all right to me. I chuckled as I stepped over a large crack in the cave floor. They gave me a button after I shared some dried fruit with them.
A hoe button?
Amrila drawled sarcastically.
Why bother with the trow? You're the richest man in the world.
Sometimes it's what a gift means. I laughed. Not what it's worth.
Well, if I ever lose a button, I know who to turn to.
The red-skinned woman joked. Shrubs and flowers started to appear on the cavern floor, next to the rocks and boulders. And then the river finally came into view, and my heart leaped. Soon I'd be able to kiss Ibsith and take a fucking shower. I quickened my pace as Amrila and I followed the river upstream, and the subterranean landscape became more and more familiar.
Assuming you really are from the world above,
the Zinkari woman said as the vegetation around the river started to grow more dense.
Which I'm not saying I actually believe. What's it like there?
It's all hard to explain, I said as I thought about Ibsith and how everything in my world had been completely alien to her. There aren't any monsters up there, at least not what you would think of as monsters. The only intelligent race is humans, but we're all pretty different from each other. The edge of the forest came into view, and I suddenly knew where I was as we walked through the first scant trees and then into the great forest. Our towns and cities seem to be bigger than they are down here, I continued, but the biggest difference is there's no ceiling, just a wide-open sky that goes on and on. I'm really missing that right now.
No ceiling?
Amrila scoffed.
Ridiculous. What would hold in the air?
The atmosphere? I shrugged. It's like this thick layer of denser air that keeps the oxygen in.
So, the air is held in by denser air?
The horned woman said with a raised eyebrow.
Sounds silly, Eddie.
I was never good with science, I replied as I stepped over an exposed root. I just know it works.
Absurd.
Amrila laughed.
You'll have to show me.
So, you want to come with me? I asked since I could see from the playful smile on the Zinkari woman's face that she believed what I was telling her more than she wanted to let on, and I looked forward to seeing the expression on her face when she finally got to the surface and saw it was all true.
I... can I?
She asked as she suddenly seemed nervous.
I mean, I don't actually believe it, but I guess I should see it for myself.
Yeah, I said and smiled at her. You can come back to my house. I think you'll love it.
Good.
She nodded before she looked away from me, and it kind of seemed like her cheeks were turning a bit more red. But maybe I'd imagined it. Then I wondered how Ibsith would react when I got home, and the thought of her heart-shaped face and lush figure helped to keep me going through the exhaustion. As Amrila and I walked through the quiet forest, the sudden sound of footfalls and the cracking of a branch made me stop. The Zinkari woman must have heard it too, because she also stopped and ducked behind a tree, and I crouched down behind a bush and watched as a night elf in blue-gray armor of Ursinger's soldiers came into view. Damn. The man had white hair, with the sides shaved, much like the ones I'd seen the first time I encountered Genius here in the Great Forest. The elf was looking around with his sword in his hand as he patrolled through the forest, so the red-skinned woman and I waited for him to pass, deeper into the forest before we moved from our hiding spot. Then I shifted to where Amrila hid behind the tree, made sure to keep low in case there were any more of Genius's men close by, and spoke to her in a low whisper. I think we can assume there are more of them in the forest, I said as I looked around us.
Most likely,
the horned woman muttered.
We can try to get out of the forest and see if there's another way around.
I don't think that's gonna work, I replied as I pulled up my AK on its strap. They're not gonna stop looking for us. And it's another few hours of walking to get to the tunnels I want.
What are you proposing?
The black-eyed woman asked as she instinctively placed her hand on the hilt of one of her swords. We try to draw them out and confront them in an open space where they can't sneak up on us. There's a clearing not far from here. I think if we can get there, then we can take them between the two of us. I keep them back with the rifle, and you watch my back with your swords.
There were a dozen of them in Bermshire, including the Nictors.
Amrila said with a shake of her strawberry blonde hair.
And they might have gotten reinforcements by now.
I really think it's our best chance, I said. Otherwise, we're wandering around blindly and risking running into them at any turn. I'm not saying we need to fight them to the last man, but if we draw them out, we'll know where they are and how many we're dealing with.
I can't decide if you're crazy or brave,
Amrila said with an approving smile. Probably both. I laughed softly as I popped my mag out of my AK to double-check whether it was full, even though I knew it was.
Well, you've kept me alive so far, so I guess it's better to die young and beautiful than to grow old and feeble. I'll follow you, partner.
That's the spirit, I grinned. Next patrol we see, we'll raise the alarm and make a dash for the clearing. Once we're there, we get back to back. I'll keep them away with gunfire, and if anyone gets close, you take them out with your swords. Amrila and I kept low and began to sneak toward the direction of the clearing as we looked for another patrol. Minutes passed, and I was starting to think we'd get to the clearing before we saw any of Genius's men, but then a Nyctor flew overhead. Shit, I muttered under my breath. Maybe I could throw a rock or something to get his attention?
I have this.
Amrila pulled a strap slingshot and a few small rocks out of a pouch on her belt. Then the Zinkari woman stood and watched the Nyctor fly low, lazy circles over the tree line, as she began to twirl the sling and aimed it upward. And after a moment, she released the stone, which flew at a shocking speed through the air. I thought it would hit a branch, but the stone cleared the tree line, and even though it didn't hit the Nyctor, the bat-like creature's head snapped toward it, and I realized their eyes were much sharper than their half-blind cousins. Then the Nyctor looked down into the trees, and that was what I'd hoped for. Now, I hissed, run! The red-skinned woman and I began to run toward the clearing, which was only a few yards ahead. The Nyctor followed our movements from the air, and it screeched and made a strange barking noise to alert the other soldiers. Amrila and I entered the clearing and moved just far enough into it that we would have a 360-degree view around us. This way, the guards couldn't use the trees to sneak up on us, but we could still make a quick escape into the forest if we needed to. I watched as the Nyctor made frantic circles overhead, and I waited for the creature's calls to bring Genius and his men to the clearing. The Night Elf captain must have guessed I would come back here, since this was where I'd rescued Ibsith. He knew the forest was significant to me, though he likely wouldn't know why, but the possibility made the knot in my stomach tighten, because it would mean he knew this was a place I commonly passed through, which put him one step closer to finding out about the Iron Door and the path to the surface. Amrila stood at my back as we waited in the tense silence, punctuated only by the screams of the flying Nyctor. The Zinkari woman had both of her swords at the ready, and we watched the tree line for any signs of movement. The Night Elves were aware of the destructive power of my rifle, so they would probably try to overwhelm us with numbers, if they were smart. Then I spotted movement in the forest as three elves in blue-gray armor crouched in the undergrowth while they came up to the edge of the clearing. I see three of them just to my right. I whispered to the red-skinned woman behind me. Do you see any yet?
Not yet.
Amrila whispered back. The three guards seemed to be waiting for something, probably the rest of their unit, but I didn't want to give them the chance to rush us, so I turned toward them, took aim, and fired in their direction. The bullets tore through the leaves of the short bushes the elves were using as cover, and I heard a scream as two fell to the ground, and the third broke and ran back into the forest. I thought about shooting the man down, but I needed to conserve rounds, since I only had two mostly full magazines. Luckily, the size of the cavern made the loud report of the rifle more bearable and didn't amplify my shots to the deafening volume the smaller caverns of the Troll Cave and Bermshire had. My ears rang a little, but I could still hear well enough. I took some steadying breaths as Amrila and I stood back to back and waited for more soldiers. But it was only a moment before I heard a loud, challenging shout as five Night Elves sprang from behind trees and bushes and ran at full speed toward us.
Free behind us!
The horned woman shouted. I began to fire at the running elves. They were smart enough to spread out, but they weren't really behind cover, and obviously didn't fully understand how semi-automatic rifles worked. I took out the line with four well-placed shots, and elves fell to the ground, with their bodies littering the floor in bloody heaps. Amrila dashed at the three soldiers behind me, and I turned to fire at one of them before they could close the distance. I squeezed the trigger, and one screamed and stiffened, as the bullets ripped through his leather armor. He fell backwards screaming, while the remaining two attacked the Zinkari woman. But Amrila blocked the wide swing of one of the guard's swords and kicked the other back with a snap of her long leg. I stepped forward, kicked at the guard whose swing she'd blocked, and knocked him to the ground. Then I pointed my AK down at him and put a thumb-sized red hole in his chest, and then I double-tapped him in the head to silence his screams of agony. Amrila ducked under the other soldier's heavy swing of his broadsword and slashed at the Night Elf's calf, which caused his knee to buckle, and while he was incapacitated, she came in with an upward thrust of her other blade and ran it through his belly. Ha! The guard stiffened, and blood spewed from his mouth as he slid back off Amrila's sword. Good job, I said once the wave of guards were down.
You too.
She smiled at me as she flicked the blood off of her swords.
I'm still not used to how loud that rifle is, though. My ears hurt so badly.
I'll get something to protect us from the sound once we get back to the surface. The Zinkari woman nodded, and then we returned to our defensive positions and waited. The forest was suddenly alive with the shouts and calls of the Night Elves, and Amrila and I braced ourselves for whatever would come next, as I wondered if I should switch my magazine out. Before I could make a decision, two more Nyctors appeared overhead as their high-pitched calls filled the air, but one strong, deep voice rose above the noise, and I knew Genius had finally found us. The branches and shrubs on the western side of the clearing rustled and broke as 20 Night Elves in bluish-gray armor rushed into the clearing, with their leader, Genius, visible at the back of the force in his fine purple armor. As the screaming horde of elves came at us, I released a rain of bullets that took out the front line, but I used the rest of my magazine. Run! I shouted to the red-skinned woman, and I dashed to the southern end of the clearing and into the trees as I switched out my spent mag for a new one. Amrila ran next to me as we cracked through the trees and shrubs back toward the river. For the life of me, I wanted to run east, but I couldn't risk leading Genius any closer to the iron door. So my plan was to get far enough ahead to be able to take out a significant portion of the guards before we'd have to confront them directly. I stopped and turned as the river came into view. I had a clear line on two of the soldiers chasing after us, but they were about 100 yards away, so I knelt to steady my shot, brought the butt of my rifle to my shoulder, and fired at one, then the other. Both fell to the ground with a red spray of blood as more came into view, so I fired again and managed to take another Night Elf out, but two others took cover behind the gnarled trees. Get across the river! I shouted to Amrila. The Zinkari woman splashed through the shallow water while I covered her with a few shots at the trees the soldiers were trying to charge out of, and I stood and followed her once she was on the other side. But as I got halfway across the cold shallows, three soldiers appeared on the other side. Amrila held both her swords up and crouched in her fighting stance as they rushed her. The horned woman was amazingly fast, and she dodged out of the way of one of the soldier's blows while she turned and cut through the breastplate of the other before he could bring up his short sword to defend himself. Then, in a fluid motion, she brought one of her blades around and swung at the first attacker, but he was able to block her swing. I couldn't fire at the first attacker without risk of hitting Amrila, so I aimed at the third soldier, while the elf the horned woman had wounded fell to his knees and clutched at his bleeding chest. I breathed in, aimed, and squeezed the trigger of my rifle as I exhaled. The third guard had started to raise his sword to attack Amrila from behind, but then his chest and shoulder exploded in a red spray as my bullet hit him, and he fell dead on the marshy ground by the river. Amrila swung her right sword in a smooth arc at the elf fighting her, and he brought his broadsword up with both hands to block, but then the red-skinned woman thrust her sword into his ribs just under the man's raised arms, and the guard shuddered and fell back. I finished crossing the river and went over to Amrila, who was wiping her sword off on her fallen enemy as shouts rang throughout the forest. Then we looked up and saw another dozen or so of the Night Elf force closing in on us through the trees.
Gah! There are so many!
Amrila sighed. Yeah, I said as I knelt on one leg to get more stable with my shot across the river. Then I squeezed the trigger over and over again. I hit most of my targets, but it seemed as soon as one elf warrior went down screaming, another two ran to replace him. My AK clicked empty as four of them made it to the river, and I quickly switched to my last mag as they began to push through the water. Then I took the men out with 5 shots, but there were another 10 coming down the slope from the forest, and a handful of arrows missed us by 30 feet. We gotta move back, I hissed as we began to back up more, and I realized that I was for sure going to run out of rifle ammo mags, and would then have to switch to my high point. I fired at the closest elf as we backpedaled from the shore. The first shot missed, but the second caught the soldier in the forehead, and his neck snapped back with the force before he fell dead. Then, to my shock, a volley of tiny needle-like projectiles flew up from the undergrowth and overtook the half-dozen night elves running toward us. The soldiers had to pause in their pursuit to protect their faces and any exposed skin from the flying needles, and the forest floor was suddenly alive with movement in front of us as brownies came out from the bushes and shrubs and notched their bows again for a second volley. I could see the scarred brownie chief I'd met among them as he squeaked stern commands to his tiny army, and a wild grin stretched across my face. I knew befriending them would come in handy. I heard a scream above me, and I looked up to see three Nyctors swooping down through the green and purple foliage while keening their high-pitched calls. The bat-like creatures swiped at the brownies with their long-fingered clawed hands, and groups of the little rat people were forced back several feet to avoid them. Then, with a firm, final squeak from their leader, the brownie archers released their arrows, which rained down on the cursing night elves and screaming Nyctors. I saw Genius at the back of the soldiers, and his blue face was enraged as he watched his men be stopped by the little rat people. "Are you children?" Genius screamed at them. "They're tiny pinpricks! Forward!" Spurred forward by their leader, the night elves began to move again, and they kicked and stomped on the brownies as they went. I even saw one Nyctor scoop up one of the tiny archers, bite off its head, and throw the limp body to the ground. Several of the tiny brownies were crushed under the feet of the elves, or flung into the air as they were kicked to the side, and I felt sick. They'd risk their lives to help me, even if their arrows weren't enough to stop the Genius forces. "Run!" I shouted to the brownies as I stepped forward and fired my rifle into the advancing line of guards. The brownies broke and ran back into the protection of the forest, and I walked forward, determined to make sure the sacrifice of the rat people meant something. I hit one of the soldiers in the stomach, and he doubled over and fell to his knees as the rest rushed forward. But then several of the night elves and three of the Nyctors went stiff and almost fell to the ground, and I suddenly remembered what Amrila had said about the poison the brownies used. Their needle-like arrows hadn't done any damage to the elves or Nyctors, but the paralytic substance on the arrowheads had. This was my chance. I couldn't run the risk of these assholes following me back home. I had to end them here and now. "We have to get them before he escapes!" I shouted to Amrila as I ran firing at Genius and his six standing guardsmen.
"Let's kill that fucker!"
The Zinkari woman appeared by my side as she let loose a shrill war cry. Two of Genius's guards went down as I shot them, and then I sprayed more shots as I got within 50 yards. My uncontrolled burst felled one of the soldiers, and Amrila dashed to my left so she could attack a guard carrying a short sword and shield. As I looked Genius, Ursinger's lapdog and right-hand man, in his red eyes for the first time, the black-haired man's lips curled into a snarl. I fired my rifle at the elf leader, but missed him, and the round hit a tree behind Genius and sent Bark flying. The fucker had been kind of running away from me, but then he switched his strategy up and dashed toward me with his sword raised up. I aimed my AK at the fucker's chest and pulled the trigger. I expected him to die, accompanied by the angry retort of my rifle, but all I heard was a click. "Fuck!" I hissed when I realized I was empty, and I ducked and rolled out of the way of the elf's sword. I used my forward momentum to wrap my arms around Genius's waist and tackled him. We both hit hard on the marshy ground, and my rifle was thrown off my shoulder. But Genius also lost his grip on his sword, and it skittered away and fell into the river. The black-haired warrior and I rolled away from each other and back to our feet. By the time the man in the purple armor found his balance, he had pulled a long, hooked dagger.
"Where is the princess?"
Genius smiled wide as he crouched low, with the cruel dagger gripped tightly in his hand. He was actually standing between me and the AK, and his eyes drifted to where the knife was sheathed on my belt. I didn't bother to draw it, though. "He'll never find her," I said as I shrugged. I could hear the sound of combat behind me where Amrila was fighting the two remaining guards, but I couldn't chance a glance back to check on her. Genius was a trained warrior, and the closest thing to training I'd ever been through were a few fights when I was in school. I observed the slow, prowling movements of the black-haired night elf, and I was determined to force him to be the one to strike first.
"I am going to kill you,"
Genius said in a calm voice as he smiled smugly.
"But If you tell me where you're keeping the princess and explain to me how your loud blood weapon works, I'll do you the favor of killing you quickly.
Ibsith is safe and free now. I grinned back at the elf as we started to circle each other. And just think, with her gone, there's no one in the way of you sucking Ursinger's dick. The night elf snarled and lunged at me, but my hand had already drifted down to the grip of my high point. With one smooth movement, I pulled the pistol free of my holster and fired it. The report of the handgun ripped through the now silent forest. Genius froze, and the expression on his face was one of surprise as he looked down at the red blood now oozing from his stomach. Then he fell to his knees as he dropped his dagger, and the black-haired man's hands went to his wound as he tried in vain to stop the flow of blood.
Indiana Jones style, bitch!
I stood with my gun held firmly in my hand, and I walked past Genius and kicked the dagger away as he sputtered. Then I turned to find Amrila, but the two guards she'd been fighting must have overtaken the red-skinned woman, and now they held her captive as she struggled fiercely against them.
Let her go!
I said in a low, dangerous voice as I brought up the pistol and took aim at the elf on the Zinkari woman's left. The two remaining night elves looked at one another over the struggling woman, and the one on the left raised his hands in the air, opened his mouth as if to say something, and simply ran into the woods.
Fucking coward!
The final guard standing shouted at his companions retreating back. Then he turned and leveled a gaze filled with hate at me. But he let go of Amrila's arm and slowly backed away before he too turned and disappeared into the woods.
So, you do have the princess.
The horned woman smiled as she straightened and looked me up and down.
Here I was, thinking you were innocent of all charges. Remind me never to play gamble cards with you, Eddie.
I grinned and winked at the beautiful red-skinned woman, and then I turned back to Genius as Amrila came to my side. The black-haired night elf had fallen onto his back, and his blue face was pale as a trickle of blood leaked from his mouth. The elf stared up at us with unconcealed hatred, and I looked back at him with calm indifference.
You have made a powerful enemy here today.
Genius rasped.
Ursinger will take the underworld apart, stone by stone, to get his sister back.
Let him, I shrugged. What he does is of no concern to me.
Is that the message you would have me deliver to the Night King?
The black-haired man sneered. Nope, I said as I aimed my pistol one last time. I have a different message for him. Without waiting for a response, I squeezed the trigger. This time, the bullet went straight through Genius's heart, and as he died, that smug fucking expression left his face. Good fucking riddance. Then I looked around the forest floor at the dead and paralyzed guards lying on the ground. We should get going, I said to Amrila. I think we're done here, for now.
Back up to this surface world?
The horned woman asked with a hint of sarcasm. Yep. I smirked. I grabbed my AK and Genius's dagger, since I wanted to give it to Ibsith as a sort of late wedding present. We might have not had a ceremony, but she was my wife all the same, and I wanted to spoil her as much as protect her. While I did that, Amrila picked the pockets of the dead, and when she came back, her pouch of coins was a little heavier. As we turned to leave, there was a rustling in some of the low bushes, and a handful of brownies appeared, including my scarred friend. I knelt down as the leader of the wild rat people came up to me, and he bowed in an elaborate fashion. Thank you, I said, as I smiled and tried to return the gesture, but with less grace. But I was still unsure if the brownies could understand me. The scarred brownie raised a tiny fist to his heart and squeaked as he inclined his head. So I'd take it as, you're welcome. Amrila looked on with a surprised expression, but didn't say anything, while I took off my backpack, pulled out what was left of my jerky and trail mix, and then laid the bags on the forest floor. This is for your losses, I said to the leader. You didn't have to help us, and I know you lost some good friends today. The scarred brownie nodded his head and then gave an order as several of the rat people came up, hefted the bags between them, and carried them into the underbrush. The leader of the brownies lifted his tiny hands in the air and made several squeaks in the cadence of a chant as he looked around at his small army. I didn't know exactly what he said, but the chant was taken up by the other brownies, and I felt a warm glow fill my chest since I knew the chant was for me. I stood and bowed to the gathering of tiny warriors, and Amrila and I crossed the river as we headed east to the sound of a brownie war cry.
Friends with brownies,
the horned woman said as she shook her head and smiled.
I've never seen anything like it.
Can't have too many friends, I grinned. My pop taught me that. As we made our tired way through the forest, filled with the warm glow of victory, my thoughts turned to the sunlight above, and laying in a warm bed with my arms wrapped around my wife.